From beautiful northern Michigan in the United States of America, you're tuned to the Evergreen Bible Baptist Broadcast.
Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul is satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water, oh, wonderful and bountiful supply.
We believe strongly in the authority of God's Word. Not only will the Bible help us with our day-to-day struggles, it will also prepare us for eternity. We pray that today's message from the Word of God might do a work in your heart. We are always delighted to hear from our listeners in response to the program. We are an independent Baptist church located at 1972 Saunders Road, just outside of the village of Kalkaska in the Lower Peninsula of Michigan. We invite you to contact us by email at william58kuiper@yahoo.com. Your prayers and words of encouragement are greatly appreciated. Now, stay tuned as Pastor William Kuiper delivers the message for today's broadcast. But first, a very special musical number.
This morning, I'm talking about evangelism, the Christian example. And we have been following the gospel's outreach from the upper room in Jerusalem and then to Samaria and then outwards from there. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, that Jesus told his disciples, ye shall be witnesses unto me at Jerusalem and in Samaria and continuing on, preaching the gospel throughout to the edge of the world. So the gospel was to continue to spread outwardly. There was the witness on the desert to Gaza as Philip spoke to the Ethiopian eunuch. We talked about that testimony. We talked about the villages in Samaria where people were saved. There was the road to Damascus where the Apostle Paul, or Saul, as he was called then, was found the Lord Jesus. And then, of course, there was a soldier in Caesarea. We talked about Paul going to Cornelius and leading he and his family to the Lord. Those who were touched with the gospel then shared the gospel with others. That's exactly what we are to do. We're to take the truth that we have heard and begin to share it with others. May the Lord touch our hearts about what a Christian is and how we are to live the Christian life before the world. The group of believers had been called names for a while, but they did not really have a name by which they could be distinguished and defined until they came to Antioch. There was persecution in Jerusalem, which caused the believers to head out to other places. There were a group of believers that stopped in Antioch and witnessed there, and they led some Greeks to the Lord. And the Bible says in verse 21, the Lord blessed them. So there's a little group of believers there in Antioch. We're beginning to trust the Lord and begin to grow in the Lord. And when the apostles in Jerusalem heard of it, they heard of the vibrant work that was beginning to grow in Antioch. They sent Barnabas up there to see how things were going and to bring them comfort. His name means consolation. And so he was coming to preach and share the word of God to encourage them and challenge them with their work. And upon seeing how the work was growing, he felt the need to bring someone else into the work, and that was Saul, who later, of course, would be called Paul. And he saw this, that they needed some of the qualities that Paul had, and he brought him there to help them with the ministry there in Antioch. It's interesting that as these began to grow, as the church began to develop and began to assemble themselves together into a called a church, that the Bible says that many people were taught. And then the last sentence, what I want us to think about, is that disciples were first called, or Christians first, in Antioch. So here we find the first time of that term is being used towards God's people. It was called the way, they were called believers. But here was the first time God's people were called Christians. This word Christian defined these group of people. They said they're Christians. They called them Christians there. And how it ought to define us who call ourselves Christians. A Christian is someone with a changed life. Notice here, it says in verse 26 that the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. As they saw the life of these people, they said they are called Christians. Many nations have been called Christian, and many athletes and celebrities have claimed this title for themselves. But as people in Antioch saw these believers live out their life before them, the life they lived, and the words that came from their lips, the people of Antioch nicknamed them Christians. Christians. It was a nickname. And so, meaning they were associated with Christ. The life they lived was a life that they tried to pattern themselves after the Lord Jesus Christ. They were partisans of Christ. They belonged to his party. They were trying to live the life of a Christian. In the first century, the word Christian was a scorn, was a slam, was a word of contempt. By the second century, believers said, you know what? We can live with this name. We're going to live with this. We are Christians. They began to wear it as a badge of honor. They began to say, well, that's exactly, it defines the life that we desire to live. We are going to be called Christians. There's a lot of people who call themselves Christians, but their life has never been changed. No one could accuse them of being a Christian. No one could point out and say, well, you live the life of a Christian. You live a life as Christ would live. I'm afraid there are a lot of people who call themselves Christians just aren't. But I believe the Lord is looking for a group of people who will live that kind of a life. Who will say, I have been changed. My life has been touched. My whole direction by my life, how I think, how I act, the things I do is because of my relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. A Christian follows the teaching of Jesus. They seek to understand the life that he lived and the words that he taught and the stories he taught, say those are the things that are the things that affect my life and how I live my life. I guess the big question we need to ask ourselves is, does your life help illustrate that you are associated with Jesus Christ? We are often affected by the things that we hear. Oh yeah, you hang around someone with raunchy humor and your mind and the words that are stain carry the stain of those things you hear. But if you hang around someone who loves the Lord, loves to pray, loves to talk about the things of God, I want you to know that you will be influenced by that also. That's why I believe it's so important to be in God's house. We have an opportunity during this hour or however long you're in church in the morning to be influenced for righteousness. You're going to go out in the world and there's things on television and things on computer and all those things will pull you down. But how we need to be encouraged to be pulled up, to be influenced for righteousness. And it's important for you to be a testimony. The world needs to see the reality. As Jim was talking about Joseph this morning in Sunday school class, Joseph was in a wicked environment. But instead of allowing that to stain his life, he desired to stand for the Lord. And everyone around could see the reality that this man walked with the Lord. And Joseph had a testimony like that. And we need to have that kind of testimony. We need to associate with the Lord Jesus. We hear the word partisan a lot in these days. Partisan meaning someone who belongs, for example, to the Republican Party or the Democrat Party. And so they're partisans. They follow along with party lines. As Christians, we need to follow along in Jesus' line. We're his partisans. His life affects my life. His how he served and how the words he taught were for my benefit to help me to walk in the way that I should. My question is, do you belong to his party? Do you belong to his party? Are you seeking to walk in his way? Are you learning to follow in his ways? Does your relationship with Jesus, has that changed you at all? It ought to have. It ought to. How can someone as wonderful as the Lord Jesus Christ who forgave you of your sins and died on the cross for you, how could it not affect your life? How could it not affect your life and cause you to think differently and to act differently and to live differently? Our relationship to Jesus ought to change everything about us. Not that we're perfect. But we continue to desire that. We know what in our own spirits what it is like when we have grieved him by our word or action. We know what that's like. We know what it's like when we have hurt or grieved or quenched the Holy Spirit that lives within us. Oh, we want to live a Christian life. Can a person accuse us of being Christian and prove it by our life? Can someone accuse us and say, you look like a Christian? I've been accused of that a couple times. I like it. I think it's a good thing. And the world ought to be able to see that there's something real about us, that we're just not putting on an act, but something has totally changed our way of thinking. Oh, may that be true of ourselves. So the Bible says that, first of all, the Christians the disciples were first called Christians first in Antioch. They saw the life that they lived, and they used that. Their changed life was an example to them. In Acts chapter 26, the Apostle Paul is preaching to King Agrippa. He gives his testimony and tells them about what happened in his life. And as remember, he Saul was, as we talked about his conversion, he was on his way to Damascus to silence Christians, to arrest them, to put them to death, whatever, to try to stop the Christian testimony. And on the way, he met the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus. And as he met Jesus, he says, he after realizing who Jesus was, he says, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" And in effect, he's saying, "Lord, since this life is no longer mine, what is your choice for me?" I believe, secondly, we find that a Christian is one that has a chosen life. A chosen life. Look, if you would, at verse 28. Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost you have persuaded me to be a Christian. Almost you have persuaded me to be a Christian." Now, Paul, as he stood before King Agrippa, he was sharing his life and how the Lord touched his life and how the Lord changed his life. And he's standing before a king who knew something about the customs of the Jews, and he knew something that he was not a disinterested king. He cared about some of the things that were going on in his part of the world. He studied Jewish people from antiquity. Paul acknowledged that. He says, you are a master of the customs of the Jews. You know these kind of things. And he also knew that King Agrippa had seen Christians in action. And Paul says, this wasn't done in a corner, King Agrippa. Then he tosses the ball to King Agrippa and said, "Are you going to believe? Are you going to make your choice to be a Christian? Are you going to choose and allow the Lord to change your life?" And Agrippa is interesting here because he says, "Almost you have persuaded me." Almost. He had heard enough that now he could wisely choose between the one life, the life that he was living, and the life of a Christian whose life has changed. He realized there was a choice to be made. It was a choice that could change his life. It was a choice that could have brought some joy in this vile king's life. But instead, he chose otherwise. He almost had it. Almost had it. Some are so close to choosing, making the right choice in their life, and then they turn it aside. Remember the Cleveland Indians almost won the World Series. Almost. I mean, it was close. I mean, I don't think it could be any closer. Almost. But they missed. They lost the opportunity. They lost it. And there's a whole lot of people who are almost persuaded. There's a song in our hymn book. Philip Bliss wrote this song. It says, "Almost persuaded now to believe. Almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul would say, go spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day on thee I call." Verse 2, "Almost persuaded, come today. Almost persuaded, turn not away. Jesus invites you here. Angels are lingering near. Prayer rise from heart so dear. Oh, wander, come." And the last verse, "Almost persuaded, harvest is past. Almost persuaded, doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail. Almost is but to fail. Sad, sad, the bitter wail, almost, but lost." Do you think King Agrippa in hell, that word almost rings in his mind? Almost. Almost. Listening to the message from Paul, listening what and seeing what changed life Paul had and illustrated by the life that Paul had given before him. Almost, Paul. Almost turned it away and walked away. Oh, folks, how sad that word, almost. If you are not a Christian in this room this morning, oh, don't almost. Don't almost. Say, I need Jesus today. I need him in my life. I need him every hour, and I'm choosing to walk in Jesus' way. And so living for Jesus, it's a choice. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, as Jim said in his Sunday school class this morning, it was his verse. If Jim will call upon the name of the Lord, he shall be saved. It was a choice. A choice saying, I need Jesus. I choose Jesus. When I was an 8-year-old boy, I made my choice saying, I want Jesus in my heart. I want him to be my Savior. Today, if you're not a Christian, today is your day to make your choice. But do not say, almost. Almost, I'm ready. Almost. Too many have turned it aside in that moment of almost, and it passed and let it go and missed the most wonderful thing that could happen in a person's life, to know the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a blessing it is to choose Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But you know, there's something else here, I believe. It is also a wonderful thing to choose to live your Christian life before others. Isn't that something? A choice that is we make. There is too many secret Christians today. And the reason why America is on the slippery slope is because too many Christians are not living their life before others. We need to be a testimony for Jesus' sake. We have a story to tell to the nations. We've got something worthwhile. We believe in something that not only is good for today, and I'm glad I'm a Christian today, but when that moment comes and the death angel comes, I'm so glad that I belong to Jesus, and when I'm absent from this body, I'm going to be present with the Lord. Amen. It's a wonderful thing. And so may I make my choice today to be a faithful testimony of this fact that Jesus lives in me. And his life has affected my life. I am choosing to be a testimony for the Lord Jesus' sake. A testimony that shares the good news of Jesus Christ with others. Oh, today, may we make that our choice. I choose to let Jesus be known. May I be faithful and let the world know who I believe in. So, Agrippa made a choice. Sadly, a wrong choice. And sad for so many who have turned aside the good news of Jesus Christ. If you do not know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, I pray that today you would accept Jesus. That today will be your day of salvation. That you will know the reality of Christ living in you. The Christian life is a changed life. The Christian life is a choosing of a life. But it, thirdly, is a challenging life. Let's look, if you would, at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. And if you would, look at verse 16. Here's the third time that we find the word Christian in our Bible. 1 Peter 4, verse 13, says, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf." Being a Christian is also a challenging life. A challenging life. The word that comes to my mind as I think about this is the old song, "It's not an easy road." Anyone who says, "Well, become a Christian," that's just you're on easy street from then on, do not know what you're talking about. Christian life is not easy. It's easy to be saved. I mean, with a simple asking Jesus come into our heart, repenting of our sin and allowing Jesus to come within, that's how we become a Christian. That takes a moment of time, a moment of surrender. But all the work that's involved in living for Christ. It's a challenge to us. Why you say, well, why is it such a challenge? Well, number one is when you are saved, you have just gained a very powerful enemy, Satan. Satan doesn't like you. He never liked you before to begin with. I want you to realize Satan never liked you. But now that you have become a Christian, he likes you even less. Matter of fact, I could say he hates you and despises you. Isn't that a comfort? Do you know that? Satan really hates us. And so it's going to be a challenge to us. It's not going to be easy. And his demons are real. Satan is real. He's not that little guy running around with red skin and a little horns and a pitchfork. That's not Satan. He's a real enemy. He really does hate us. He hates your Savior and he hates you. And so that's part of our challenge. The second part, of course, is the Lord desires you to live, stands in contrast to what the world desires. Your life's going to have to be different. Look, Steve, if you're at 1 Peter.
Thank you so much for listening to our service today. We would like you to know how that a person could know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. First of all, we must realize that every one of us are sinners. For the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God," Romans 3:23. And because of that, because we are sinners, we are told that the wages of our sin is death, Romans 6:23. But we are told that God loves us, and that is one of the most wonderful truths. But God commended, or God showed his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And because Jesus died for us, we can receive the gift. And here is the gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we are all sinners. We have to go to hell because we are sinners. But because God's love for us, he gave us his grace. He gave us his love gift, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that, we need to do something. And that is that we must call upon the Lord Jesus to be saved. For the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," Romans 10 and verse 13. So today, if you are lost and a sinner, not knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior, here's a prayer that you could pray if you would like to accept Jesus as your own Lord and Savior. Say something like this: "Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sins and save my soul, so that I could spend eternity in heaven with you. Thank you for this wonderful gift and for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." And we would like to hear from you if you did say that prayer, and that we could be thankful with you that you have done that. May the Lord bless you.
We hope you were encouraged from today's message from Pastor Bill Kiper. Our prayers are that through the preaching today, you might grow closer in your walk with Jesus. We look forward in continuing with the Lord's work in this outreach radio ministry. The email address again is William58Kiper. Kiper is spelled K-U-I-P-E-R @yahoo.com. Or you can write us at Evergreen Bible Baptist Church, 1972 Saunders Road. Saunders is spelled S-A-U-N-D-E-R-S. And that's 1972 Saunders Road, Kalkaska, Michigan, 49646. We invite you to join us next time as Pastor Kiper continues his teaching from the Word of God. This is the Evergreen Bible Baptist Broadcast. Until next time, may you grow in the knowledge and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.